This is James Butler of Sex Clock 5, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Wavefarm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the Office of the Governor and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the Greene County Cultural Fund, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC monthly supporters, whose generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Ralph Gartner of Valencia, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Every Monday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. you can listen to our Modulism radio show. Airing electro meet acoustic music.
Welcome to the dystopian hell that every child of the 80s knew we were in for. Yeah, that's it. Right? I'm not wrong. Getting right into it. Don't expect a lot out of us today. If you guys want to have a nice, happy day, turn us off. Go somewhere else. Go for a walk in the woods. Put on something fun. Put on that TV show you've been waiting to look at. Because we don't have anything. Well, okay. I'll promise you I'll find at least one fun or cool thing by the end of the show to tell you about. But until then, how you doing, Brian? Okay.
That's exactly what we expect.
That's our sound guy doing his job. Cody, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Greg, welcome. How are you?
Oh, good. Great to be here. Thanks.
Ben, how you doing?
Doing well.
All right. Mac, how are you?
I did just call my mental health invincible.
So. Awesome. Now, that is a good sentiment, and I hope you can spread that to everyone else. We're going to need it.
It's more of the saying it out loud to will it into existence.
Fake it till you make it. This is a viable strategy. Whew. Well, we got some bad news for everybody. We are down a member. Tom Ditto passed away since the last show. That dude was a very smart scientist, artist. And we're going to miss him. The world is less for what has happened. Next show, we're going to be trying to do a tribute to him. Hopefully, we could do an on-location sort of deal, but we're still working on that. And we will get back to you. So, You'll be missing one voice tonight. And hopefully, we do him some justice. All right, what's ticking you guys off now?
What's ticking us off?
If you guys want to say something about Tom, now's the time before we start getting angry. We could just be sad for right now.
I think I have a kind of funny story, right? We had that one guest that wanted to colonize the moon, and then I just remember watching Tom's face. Like, was really funny because, like, I mean, the guy that wanted to colonize the moon was a little bit of a kook, and, like, Tom's brain just was so, like, just grinding with, like, all the factual errors that that guy had. And and I think that that was literally the best episode, just watching Tom's face.
Like, it was the best episode for you.
Because you could just watch every time that the guy said something wrong, you could watch Tom just stuff his anger down.
just swallow it.
Whole. I just, you know, I think that's sort of the best encapsulation of Tom that I can think of that was kind of funny. That and teasing him that you should put his stuff on OnlyFans. that was probably less funny and kind of mean of me, but I'm sorry. But the Carson episode was probably the most interesting one to watch with Tom. Because, you know, he Carson. Did real work and it was like, no.
One thing I really admired about him was exactly how much time he must have spent thinking about how to make all this stuff that he thought about, telescopes and optics, all that happen and align perfectly well in space. I really enjoyed talking with him about his telescopes and all the different ways that he thought of to implement them, whether on the ground or, you know, floating around our planet.
He's one of the most remarkable people I've met. I would use the word genius, but the more I think about it, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there was something about him that was, you know, really, I guess, transcendent. You know, he thought about things at a deeper level, made connections about things on a deeper level. And, of course, if you look at his footprint, I mean, just the track record of patents and big grants and films and collections and so on and so on. It's a really amazing story.
Yeah, Trip.
Okay. Now.
Now you want to get to what's grinding your gears?
What's grinding your gears?
No, my gears have ground to a complete halt, and I'm trying to restart them. But believe me, there's enough anger inside me hiding to just make that pretty easy. Let's see. We're supposed to talk about technology.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Do ya?
Do we have to?
I've been seeing more reviews around. Tell you that.
I do enjoy that Elon Musk self-evaluated his X platform at $30 billion. This is a small tech bit. I think, what was it, 15 or 30? He evaluated it at something ridiculous and then made his Grok company,
I was going to say, it's worth whatever someone's willing to pay for it. So Elon was willing to pay that much for it, and then he's willing to pay that much for it again. So,
I mean,
awesome.
Wasn't he kind of just switching money from one pocket to another?
Exactly.
Yes.
But also, I mean, if value of something is subjective, I think of art, you know, for an example. And what was that? Was it P.T. Barnum? He said, there's a sucker born every minute.
Yes, he did.
I'll leave it there.
Yeah, and if you're on X, you're a sucker. And you're an asshole. And you're making things worse for everyone else.
When he made that move, didn't he? He moved for like $30 billion, but he bought it for 40-something. That means the bankers who were financed him took a 20, 30% haircut? Is that what happened?
Haircut?
Yes.
Loss.
Yes.
Yes, right?
I mean, he basically needed Twitter to pay money, right? He needed his X platform to pay money.
Well, he did some sort of stock shuffle.
Yeah.
His value is inherently tied to the stock value of Tesla. So all of that money is what he was basically using to
leverage. That's his marker,
yeah. Mm. And as that's what makes him cry. When Tesla stock goes down, that's his actual value. Yeah. His value as a human in his own mind going down.
Hey, you look at
that's why Tim Walz is a jerk.
You look at the big strategy, buying Twitter, taking this, whatever they called it, America's neighborhood, or this
the global neighborhood?
Whatever it was. He got that and he controlled it and he twisted it up so that way it would serve him. And that 40 billion sounds like a lot, but with only a quarter billion, he bought a presidency. So the Twitter was just his loss leader for buying a presidency.
That's exactly. I was thinking it's not like the value is based on what he can get off.
What he can get off it, such and, as control I mean, everything.
Yeah. So who cares if it's completely devalued if every penny is transferred literally into power,
into power and influence,
and silence facts, and elevate the voices of people.
Interesting.
The worst kind of people.
Starting there,
that have horrible intentions. You know, the racists, the idiots, the bigots.
I'm trying to think what this period of history is going to look like in junior high school textbooks. It'll probably be called the Big Grift.
No. It'll be the Dear Leader.
I have to say, like, I sometimes I'll look at things that are happening, you know, in terms of current events, and it's just like left and right, we're getting whacked with like crazy, crazy stuff. I think about the kids half a century from now sweating because they're trying to study for their Regents exam, or their, you know, like they have this test coming up and they're like, oh no, what happened between 2019? I think there was a flu, maybe. But people getting vaccines, but we don't know why. And it's just going to be so crazy for them because it's within the past like 5 years, 5 to 6 years in particular. I think that we are denying ourselves like overall, we've just gone through an incredible amount of trauma. I mean, before, like, 2016 with Trump getting elected the first time, like, we've never really had a chance to collectively breathe and say, what the heck was that?
You see, I find that view incredibly optimistic because in like 20, 30 years, if kids are still studying and trying to get things right, I'm going to be impressed. Because at that point, they're just going to pick up their little digital device. Well, they're not going to pick it up. They're going to wake up. The neural link in their brain will activate and start downloading their day's information. And then their collective experiences of that day at the end of it will be uploaded into the cloud and everybody else will get to experience it.
And they'll speak to complete their work assignments. They'll speak to Grok 6.0a.
My mental health is invincible. My mental health is invincible.
And then Aldous Huxley's vision of us separating into the quote civilized world and reservations will become true. And believe you me, I'll be on the reservation.
Okay. Mr. Savage.
John the Savage.
I will be in the woods.
I feel like if you read Kurt Vonnegut's Player Piano,
I have not.
I would recommend that one. I feel like we're marching towards that future.
We're marching towards every Kurt Vonnegut.
Right? I said, every child of the 80s, this is your dystopian future. We're living it out. We just can't figure out from month to month. Are we in RoboCop? That's the one that... we got weird drugs that are, like, screwing up the street. We got, like, corporations utterly taking over, everything. We're starting to... We're literally putting robot police officers on the street. It's RoboCop.
Yeah, no? But they're not,
are we in something else? Or what?
We're Blade Runner? Stepping into the future.
Jesus. They're not cyborg cops, though. They're actually just robots, right?
They're just robots. Well, yeah, that's right.
Is it
RoboCop
real robots or just metaphor?
But they cyborg to take... robots were doing it. Like that big one that's like, halt, citizen, present hall pass. Present hall pass. And then terminate. That's why they needed a human brain in there.
So. I don't know, man.
That future, it sounds like the populace is going to need even more drugs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. As if it's going to be any different from
now. The economy is going to be absolutely tanking. All the dominoes are starting to fall right now. So remember those industries and services that are absolutely depression-proof. You got your prostitution. You got your drug sales. You got your alcohol sales.
Mercenaries.
Ooh, private security
equipment.
Yep. Security. Yep. Cameras and guns.
Actually, to quote P.T. Barnum, you can hire one half of the poor to kill the other half.
He was a wise homie. Yeah.
Think we're already doing that.
Okay, and that's the Purge movie. Nice. Mm. We're getting there. How many times do we play what sci-fi movie are we in? And it's never going to be Star Trek.
Yeah.
Even if it is Star Trek, it's not that good.
It's going to be one of the Kelvin universe Star Treks. It just sucks.
It's Enterprise.
Okay, well, I'm okay with a decon chamber and some gel.
Wait a minute. Oh, in Enterprise, doesn't, like, the entirety of Florida get blown up?
Yep.
With a space laser?
Terrorists cut Florida in half with a giant laser.
Oh, yeah. So Marjorie Taylor Greene was right.
What? Oh, it was space laser. Gotcha.
Oh, that hurt. Yep. Oh, that hurt. Don't ever say that phrase again.
Oh. You're welcome.
Now you can inflict that on somebody else. There you go. Just view it that way.
No. No, because if those words leave my mouth, my brain will force my teeth to chew off the end of my tongue. Like, no, that's not happening. We don't do that. Just like I was in a chat and somebody was like talking politically. We have our own version of Tommy Tuberville trying to hold up like legislation by like just being an obstinate prick. And this guy's like, well, now we're going to have the phrase of, well, what would Tommy Tuberville do? And I jumped on them like white on rice. That will not be a phrase. Never do that again. Ever again.
What would Tommy Tuberville do?
Right? I mean, as a ridiculous notion, sure, it's okay to exist in your brain, but... Yikes.
Wow.
Yikes.
I don't get the reference.
Tommy Tuberville?
Don't know it.
Oh, he was during the Biden administration. He was the guy that was holding up all of our military promotions,
like for months,
every
right?
single one. And he was like, "No, I don't like this because we got trans people in the military, so no promotion can be passed whatsoever." So our entire military
the power of one in the Senate world. Is pretty intense. You'd think they would use it more often for good.
Well, that's what we're trying to do now. Somebody's like, "Well, I'm going to do that now," and it's like, Yeah, but the people in the military right now don't care. Pensacola, Florida. The flipped, I don't know if it's Pensacola. It's whatever county has an Air Force base. It flipped blue, okay? The military people are sending a message. No. What? They're all in danger. Every single one of them's in danger. If you have a member of your family in the military, they are now in danger because of our government and their absolute carelessness.
Why do you think
well,
that? I mean, no, just...
Whiskey leaks.
I was going to say, well, the signal was...
Cutting back on the VA.
Yeah, that's all kinds of... Entirely. The entire, like, whiskey leaks, Hegseth's, like, using signal and just adding a journalist. That at least this journalist was a pro-American journalist.
Right.
But what was that? I mean, we can't even know if that was a factor. Like, it could be the VA defunding and firing tons of vets who have worked for the
sure,
VA.
Pile, throw that on the pile. But
I'm not sure which one's the dominant.
They didn't really care until now. Now they're realizing that by getting up, going out, doing their duty to protect this country is unnecessarily put in danger. Their lives should not be risked like this. Like, they're already at risk. They're already putting their asses on the line for us. And now we're just going to, like, basically blatantly ignore any sort of, like, safety issue that they could have. You want a military coup? That's how you start one.
I don't know.
Well,
I think they're pretty split. There's a lot of, you know, loyalists and obedient people who...
Loyal to what? The Constitution?
No.
So
loyal to the command structure, not to the Constitution.
Take the half. Yeah,
the other half to kill that half.
The problem is...
What a good
they
idea.
They are one half. We are the other half.
No. Yeah.
I'm talking strictly in the military, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Talking military opinion, we take one
that
half.
That comes down when Trump sends... a military command to our troops and Congress finally decides that's unacceptable and then they send their own set of military commands which should override his.
Well,
and then the military
thing is
to be fair, the Supreme Court ruled that he has absolute immunity as long as he's doing it for the country.
Oh. Donald Trump has absolute immunity, but none of the people he orders to do anything.
They don't have, unless he
and they can all
specifically pardons them. But in the first term,
he begs the pardon.
The guardrail for the military was the actual Joint Chiefs of Staff. When things were going weird, they would issue an open letter to the military, to the people, saying, our job is to...
Who's currently in place of that?
I know. So who... You probably have guys right now, if they issued that same letter, would be fired tomorrow. If you issued a letter that said, our job is to protect the Constitution, that is our oath, each every one of us, to not obey an order. But you start firing people from the top down, and you don't have that left anymore.
To be fair, I mean, this is sort of what played out in Eric Adams, right? They fired a whole bunch of people until eventually they found a guy that would say, yes, sir, we'll do it.
Yep. That's right. And they did so. Recently, they dismissed the case with prejudice. Without prejudice.
No. With prejudice.
So they can't bring it back.
It was released with prejudice so the administration can't hold their thumb over him and say, if you misbehave...
That's not what I read.
No. It was with prejudice.
With prejudice.
So when you do it with prejudice, they were like, we don't want to not serve justice by letting him go, but if you let him go, you better make it so he doesn't become a tool of the administration by allowing them to file again. So they released it with prejudice. You can't bring the charges back.
Yep.
They took him out from under the thumb of the administration.
That's okay. That's awesome. You see?
Yeah. So it's an injustice to not do it.
I didn't read the article. I read the headline, which said, Judge bows to Trump. That's how it was worded.
They were giving it a... Yeah,
sorry, folks, we're not too...
That's how half
today.
Stories work. You just don't tell the other half. With prejudice means he can't be...
All the tech anymore. That's happening right now is just sad and depressing. You don't want to know it anyway. it would all be about killer drones and Tesla robots and just you don't want to know.
Well, you mentioned that you saw more Rivians.
Yeah, I saw more Rivians.
I've seen... Ionics on top of that.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
Wait, well, who makes the Ionic? Is a brand,
Hyundai, right?
Make
Korea?
It's
Koreans, right?
Hyundai.
Yeah. Hyundai. I think one of them. Hyundai is definitely South Korean, okay. But I think those
is Ionic.
Doesn't matter. They're all going to be 20% more expensive tomorrow anyway.
Hi, Debbie Downer. How it's spelled? It's I-O-O-N-I-Q. IQ. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you mind? Can we conjure up a good news?
Can we just conjure
for a bit?
Conjure
the judge, Wisconsin. Hey,
oh, the judge. Yeah, yeah. The
right?
that
was good.
The anti-Musk referendum.
Yes, where they
that's what it was. Money. Wasn't about anything other than that.
Yes, we watched him spend $20 million, I think, in total on that election.
No.
And it all was for naught. And oh no, well, thanks for stimulating the economy, Elon. And by the way, the people that got checks from him, they were Elon sycophants. The entire thing's rigged.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Maybe no good. I'm trying. Let's see. What's positive? What's positive?
That was a positive one. It was a referendum. And
Elon Musk crying on TV.
Yeah,
that's positive.
Yeah.
Well, but
almost. I don't think he has tear ducts.
But for 10 years,
I think he's kind of removed.
The Wisconsin. I think it's a 10-year
seat. Oh, 10 years. Oh, really? That's a
long time. So it's huge. Yeah.
Nice.
That I would say that is good news. That you know that she's able to. Sit on that for 10 years and have Wisconsin be, I think, what is it, 5-4? I think
4-3, something
or
like that. 4-3.
4-3. So good news there.
Yeah, good news. Maybe women
is a win.
Can maintain their health care in that
harvest
state.
All these wins and sit on them for now.
Yeah,
here's sort of a tech news.
Everyone's precious.
It's tech-ish related.
Please.
Save us.
Let's see here. Some of the fired workers at the NOAA were reinstated.
Yay.
Which is good. That's good news, right?
Yeah, it's good.
That is good news.
It was those people that got reinstated are now wondering how long they're going to keep their job. They're not really focusing on their tasks. They're still getting paid money, and we're starting to see disruption.
In the weather service itself from the data?
Yeah. We no longer are doing weather balloons. We've had to stop doing that. Don't got the money for it anymore. So
just satellites.
Just satellite data.
And Dopplers.
So tomorrow's forecast will be scattered weather.
So honestly, here's my honest question, right? As a layperson, right? what do you get from the balloon that you don't get from the satellites?
Way more specific data at each level of the atmosphere on its way up and down.
Instead of just the averages.
You get instead of satellites can be confused by different things, clouds and sun reflections and stuff like that. But if you launch a weather balloon, you have what's called a drop sonde, which is the little device that measures the pressure and humidity and temperature all the way up and then all the way back down. And you get a real good 3D profile of the atmosphere that way.
See, this is why I ask.
It's going to lessen accuracy for rain predictions. It's not going to save like anybody from a tornado.
Well, they do like to release them in tornadoes, though, for research.
Yeah, no, that's what Doppler's for, right? Yeah. Doppler clearly shows the swirl forming.
Now, my other question is, did they let the guys go who fly into the
hurricanes? There's a tornado.
Oh, those are cool.
Guys who fly into the hurricanes, did they let them go?
I don't know. Did they?
No. I don't think
they're,
so.
They're required to play the guitar solo in Freebird.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's cool.
As they go into it.
Actually, I have two very interesting ones about the Department of Energy.
Ooh.
So, when the Doge guys came to the Department of Energy for the nuclear people, they actually pulled guns on them and said, "You cannot come in here."
The nuclear
guys. So they had an armed standoff in there. It's not particularly well publicized, but that actually did happen. And they were pointing guns at each other and said, "You cannot come in here."
Wow.
Which is
a nuclear facility. You don't just walk in.
So, they actually had an armed standoff, and that had to be negotiated down. Yeah.
And the Doge guys were like, "Just wait until my mom hears about this."
And then number two is that they fired guys while they were transporting cores on the trucks. They fired them.
While they had cores.
While they had the nuclear cores in the trucks that they were transporting.
So the guys just say, "Well, I'm going home now," and just leave the truck outside.
No, they were like, "What do you want me to do?" So, like, that's like some of the guys they had to call back. It was the guys that were transporting it.
And then the question is, who's going to pay me to do that? And are you going to pay me triple now that I'm a free agent?
I'll do it for money.
My Uber's going to be 3 minutes, guys.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so,
wow. Kind of scary.
No, that's not scary. That's at least one government agency acting the way it should have. And maybe, I'm just going to say, maybe they underreacted. So, yeah. Oh, by the way, folks, that wasn't a problem for us. When those nukes were stepped down and we were basically, not really, but almost defenseless for a few minutes there, we had the protection of the full nuclear umbrella provided by the EU. And that's going away. So we won't get to make mistakes like that. If we make a mistake like that again, our enemies might have a window to utterly destroy us.
Yeah, but if you think about it this way, right? Even if they utterly destroy us, they still lose because there still will be a nuclear winter.
Yes. What if they don't attack us with nukes?
We would lose the least because it would just...
If our defenses are down, they don't need nukes to destroy us. Right now,
a conventional attack against the United States would be particularly difficult. First of all, you have to have
so big.
It's big. Number two, you also have to have the logistic capability to get across two oceans. So that means that you have to have in-flight refueling. There's a lot of logistical things that you would need to do to protect the United States.
China has advanced naval technology.
And so you have to strike within 24 hours.
No, you don't.
So my pants
Here's
are
the
down.
Awesome part. They can have all those subs sitting in all of our harbors, on all of our coastal cities. They've already have robotic dogs that they've started thinking about putting thermobaric devices on. This is not a nuke. They can take these robot dogs, basically just land in 20 or 30 different points on our coast. We would never be able to stop all of them, only one or two. And then the rest could just have a little army of robot dogs just start heading inland. And as soon as they're detected, they start going up.
Yeah, but
our coasts are fire.
That's anything.
That's like, anything.
Okay.
Be honest.
That could happen.
I mean, that's like a zero-hour plot.
I know.
Right? Did that happen?
Did it happen?
No.
But all this technology is here. I've watched all of it in action. And we're ceding our power worldwide.
No, I mean, I agree with you on that. But...
Do you think our response to that would be we're just going to nuke whoever we think attacked us? Yeah. What if we can't identify who attacked us? What if they get so good they send a fleet of submarines that we just can't identify the source? Who do we
That's a huge ask. I mean, you're talking about a guys who were tasked with, let's think about the technological thing, right? During the 1980s, the U.S. was still able to track the most sophisticated nuclear subs from the Soviet Union, who spent 15% of their GDP at the time, was the second largest economy on the face of the earth.
Mm.
And these guys were able to track them, figure out where they were, what they're doing. So you don't think that those guys still lack, you think that they lack that capability now?
I think their capability is being outflanked by the ability for other actors to use extremely cheap drone technology to totally counteract our extremely expensive defense technology.
But you need a logistical delivery method to achieve that.
By the way, you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. And you see, the thing is, well,
90.
We have manta ray bots that just sit on the bottom of the ocean doing detection that when at any – they sit there charging themselves and detecting things. And as soon as we need them to, they can just lift off the bottom of the ocean, head at a target, and blow it up because they all contain munitions.
That's cool, but like what do you do after you blow the thing up or the many things up?
Oh, I'm just saying this technology like, could be used against
us. I understand what you're saying.
I get it.
I'm saying – I think to Ben's point, logistically, what do you do as a nation after launching an attack like that? Do you mount an invasion? Do you?
No.
You still need human beings.
All you do is you do the attack and sit back and watch your enemy weaken and crumble while you're.
Yeah, but you're assuming that the other guy's an idiot. So, like, that's the problem with all of human like thinking, right?
The other guy's crafty.
That the other guy is an idiot.
What do you mean?
Let's just assume that you're a target of attack, right? You're assuming that they're idiots. They're not idiots. And I think that that's always like...
No, I'm assuming our enemy's superior.
So,
yeah, but no, they're not. It's the same level of corruption. It's the same level of lying. It's the same level of self-believing of lying.
Yeah.
All our enemies believe their own lies. I almost used the F-bomb. But they believe their own lies. And that's how we were able to stay ahead of them is like, all right... We know, I mean, like, let's say the Russians, right? They have an expression, it's one word, that goes, I know that you're lying, you know that I know that you're lying, but we're both going to pretend that everything's okay.
What's the word?
I don't really know. But they actually have a word for that. So,
they have a word for that.
So you have a word for that, which in English seems perverse, right? Because the whole idea... in our society is that you can't really lie to yourself all the time. You know what I mean? Like even at the higher levels, you still have to tell yourself the truth. Hmm. But the problem is that they, all, I know you're shaking your head because the current guys are doing it.
I'm not like, the current guys are doing it.
I see on the show. Yes, I get it. But that's always the thing. Like you always like, I mean, like, people think that there's this magical thing that would happen and, like, our enemies are idiots or we're idiots. Eventually, there's somebody smart enough to figure out what happened. And the problem is like, are you going to gamble with somebody who has 1,500 nuclear warheads?
Right.
And who you do have a guy who is an idiot who may use them.
Okay, well...
Right, it's the Ronald Reagan thing all over again.
If our federal government dissolves, what happens to the nuclear stockpile?
What did Soviets do with theirs?
Who runs Bordertown?
Oh, I'm kind of thinking back to what you were talking about, like, just purely from a cybersecurity perspective, because the difference between, you know, what you're talking about, the Soviet Union, and, like, you know, with... our know-how with the technology that was existing during that time, the technology has advanced exponentially since then. And I will say that that is still a major weak spot in the defense of this country.
North Koreans have an effective cyber espionage.
Again, to commit fraud against tech bros who are engaging in crypto. Who may be knowingly engaging in fraud against everybody else in money laundering.
Harmless fun for testing purposes.
Shenanigans.
So they're pulling shenanigans against other people pulling shenanigans See, it's criminals robbing criminals.
It's toe cutters.
Yeah. You also have to remember, too, that China is not going to admit that the United States penetrated their defenses. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the Soviet Union. Again, it's the same thing. We're willing to say, all right, well, the Chinese got in here. We need to go fix it. China may not publicly say, we're in there.
Okay.
I mean, so you have to understand that it's probably a two-way street. The United States just cries foul because that's just what we're going to do. We're like the guy who trash-talks everybody and then is like, oh, you're touching me. Right? in a basketball game, right?
Yeah.
The guy taking a flop in a soccer game.
When they reach out to touch us, it's not going to be a
Yeah, but you realize everyone thinks that they're invincible until they're not. Or right. To quote our favorite Catskill native, everyone has a plan until you're punched in the face.
Well, you know, right? There's another whole level of mayhem lurking in the background that has been spoken of that nobody really thinks about. For example, Israel, the Samson option, you've probably heard of that.
No.
Samson option?
The Samson option is that Israel has...
I have to cut my hair?
400 they pull plus it, nuclear warheads pointed at every major city in the world. If something happens to Israel and they're about to get overrun, they'll just push the button. And that's like a big threat. And I just wonder if that's one of the reasons that Israel has managed to become influential in the politics of every single country.
No, it's the money. We have a gold dome. They don't want for us a threat.
I don't know. I don't.
Not like that. The threat's just money.
I think
something to think about.
I don't know.
Everybody
else.
Yeah,
that is
though,
an interesting thought.
I would totally be worried about that if I was anybody else. And then again, once our dome comes down, if we lose the federal government, well, what states get protection?
I mean, but even today, I think Trump was kind of saying some things about Israel that I wish I had direct quotes, but there were some things that I know that Trump was saying about Israel where I was like, this does not sound like what I've been hearing this entire time. Like,
What's interesting with them, what's interesting with Trump, and actually somebody pointed that out.
What? No.
Wait, is that ChatGPT?
That's AI, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's been generated.
Let me see if I can find it.
That's pretty good, though.
I don't know. Somebody was actually positing the idea that he's using the idea of anti-Semitism to foment anti-Semitism against people. It was actually recently a professor.
Which Semites are we talking about?
Well, no, it was actually the guy. It was a guy from Yale who was a professor of American Studies. He moved to Toronto. They had him on NPR the other day. Fortunately, I was driving, so I'm not paying full attention. But he actually posited the idea that he was using anti-Semitism to attack academia to actually sow anti-Semitism against people. It was a very interesting. Whoa. It was a weird idea. He was using them to be divisive.
Nah.
And he was using that as a shield to attack enemies of his ideas.
I'm going to say that's just like splash effect. BB's got his hand so far up Trump's rear end that like
for what though?
For what? For that doesn't matter. Like compliments and money. The things that Trump needs to survive. And that's all it took. Well, not that,
it is
but
always,
also Adelson.
It is always weird, too.
The family that gave him a lot of money.
Yeah, but it is always weird to me, too, right? That you have the Christian right, who probably would never go anywhere near a synagogue, probably doesn't have Jewish friends, thinks they're all going to hell.
Right.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then they're like, well, we need to protect Israel.
That is a weird connection.
It is
we protect
weird...
Israel because Israel serves the Christian need for rapture and end of days. And if Israel's not in place, that can't be facilitated.
See, isn't that very weird thinking, right?
We want the world to end.
It is.
We're waiting for it. We're rooting it on.
Yeah, but it's also weird, too. It's just pray to Sky God and hope for the rapture. Like, yeah. It doesn't sound good.
But I think also, too, a lot of it is... that the relationship between the U.S. and Israel has been a tale as old as time for these people, you know, the far right Christians, where, you know, like, it just was kind of embedded in the, well, they're our friends, and, you know, they're one of the good groups over there.
They're the good ones.
You know, like, the,
as far as I know, Sky God told us that, Now I had a point, and the whole Sky God thing kind of threw me off now.
Sorry.
Sky God.
No, man, my brain is fun.
Well, so Israel has benefited greatly from military contracts.
Yes,
and
so
technology transfer.
That is what I was talking about.
That's right. Trump is saying...
Yep, Trump says Israel has benefited from access to the U.S. market, but has not opened its defense market to American companies, mm-hmm. which I thought was a very interesting... So Trump, what I've noticed, he has a way of, like, floating his opinions on these things before going all in. Like, before he totally disgraced Zelensky, I mean, this was a while ago, he started kind of gently floating, well, maybe Ukraine, like, you know, kind of floated those ideas before leaning into those opinions of, Ukraine is nothing.
He's going to,
like,
do, which is why our sons and daughters will die in the Great Canadian War.
But he was just joking about that.
Nope.
No, I'm just kidding.
Nothing's a joke. Everything's just a demented bunch of goop that falls out of his rotten mouth.
Well, he lies so much he accidentally tells the truth.
that's the truth. That's probably the actual story.
There's this track of where the center is, and just
more
non-truth eventually. Go ahead.
More good news. And I shared this in the group. It was a couple days ago. That Putin's limo exploded.
But there was
no news coverage on that, really. Yeah.
Recently?
One of Putin's limos.
Oh.
And apparently it was, I don't think, an inside job. But what's interesting is before that, Zelensky was like, Putin's dying soon. So, and what makes it even more interesting, which I find to be extra zesty in this, is the fact that Putin has no second in command. And anybody who even suggests the idea of a vice president to him is jailed.
Second in command would be Dmitry Medvedev, his prime minister, probably. The guy he
succeeded
as the president before so that he could be prime minister and then get back into presidency anyway.
Right.
Basically the dude he built in his garage. this was the good news. You told me, you reminded me of the good news I didn't get to before. Russia is controlling less land in Ukraine right now than it did in the beginning of the war.
In your face!
Like, they are actually controlling less land than they started with. So, there haven't been gains. Russia sucks at literally everything except manipulating our leaders.
Yep.
Like, that's the only thing they're good at.
Yeah. Well, but is, like, easy mode. That's just like, wow, Trump, like, you're so smart. You're so cool.
And now Trump's I'm angry with you. You're going to get double tariffs because I can't say the word sanctions because that's what Biden said. And I'm not like Biden in any way.
And
you know that guy that cut your prescription prices? I had to drive him right back up. No. Just out of spite.
Sure, Trump hates Biden, but not nearly as much as he hates Obama. And that's because of the correspondence dinner.
I know. There's a theory that that's why Trump became president, because he wanted to get back for the diss of the correspondence.
Which is not nearly as angry as he is with Justin Trudeau, who we know had sex with Donald Trump's wife and daughter.
What?
Well,
making Trump double jealous.
Speaking of Donald Trump's wife.
I will swear this in court.
You know what? Thanks for disinformation. We're spreading it right back.
If it was Tiffany.
Sure.
he's got those Castro genes, you know, like that guy who they sent a female assassin after him and he basically just romanced her instead.
But you know what?
His kid did that.
Leave it to Donald Trump would get angry if Justin Trudeau had sex with Ivanka, like, only because he'd be jealous because he's a creep.
100%.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's jealous. That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I'm wrong. You think I'm joking.
No, I mean, the things that he has talked about.
They're backing each other up on these theories.
okay, back to facts. I still will never get over the fact that Ivana is buried in his on his golf course, and the fact that she died of bruising after falling down the stairs, and right before she was going to testify against her ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a tax deduction.
We could talk about that every day.
Are you suggesting that this guy may have possibly had his ex-wife killed? Guy that's having
what ex-husband
American
would, by the way?
I don't know.
No ex-husband would ever kill their ex-wives.
That just doesn't happen.
No. Yeah. I mean, say what you will about Trump. He respects. I was going to be sarcastic. Trump will never get in the way of someone testifying, you know, because he believes in the. My throat is closing.
The man knows that he could survive his own arguments on their merits. The man's he's just a good guy, you know? Like, good things just happen to good people.
Let's chill before somebody upchucks on Brian's carpet.
But we can talk about the mysteries.
Some piling
and
too.
Greg, yes, Greg, it was for tax purposes. Trump wanted his golf course to be considered a cemetery.
What?
Yep. And for now, he doesn't have to pay.
He never misses a beat.
Yep.
Depreciates.
It's tax free.
Yeah.
Remember, Elon Musk has so much money, he wouldn't want yours, too. Because, you know, watching that friend smoke crack 1,000 times, that's enough. You know he's not going to go back for it again. Right? The heroin. The heroin, it eventually satisfies you, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a top, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, so you're done.
Cool.
He's done.
They do reach that point where they all just stop and chill out?
Yeah,
okay, good.
Stop. Yeah, there's good, glad. No awesome. More.
And actually, I mean, there's a middle ground, like, where right before you hit that limit, you're actually super efficient. So, you know, it boosts efficiency. And then you can say, you know what, this was fun. That was it for me, though.
No, Lou Reed wrote a bunch of music that was really good.
What?
What?
I said Lou Reed wrote a whole
bunch of music. Oh, I thought you
really
meant
good.
Elon. Pause.
Everybody. No, wait, that's. No, that's not Lou Reed. That is. Cohen.
Leonard
Cohen. That's it.
Did you see the video that.
Are we playing
Elon
which musicians were on heroin game?
All of them.
There's a lot of them.
I win.
Is it the one that wasn't any good?
There's.
Thank you, girl.
Hear that, kids and musicians? You want to be good at it? There you go.
Hey, if everybody likes my radio voice, just remember you too can obtain this. Just start smoking and drinking at 13.
Don't listen to him. Do not.
Well, terrible advice.
Speaking of which, did anybody see Eno? The movie.
No.
What is that?
It's the best movie I've seen yet. It passes The Godfather. It's a movie by Gary Hustwit, which is run by an algorithm, essentially. So every time it's screened, it's a totally different version of the movie.
I've seen it six times. Generative.
I'm just
cut.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, Eno himself is such an amazing person. Artist, scientist, musician, philosopher, and it was really interesting to see how this algorithm tells the narrative while pulling different pieces of audio and video together and you know, creating this film. It's a must-see.
Do you watch it online? Where do you access
it? We saw it. Here's the thing. It's Gary Hustwit has it playing in small local theaters.
Okay.
We saw it in two different places in Hudson, and this past weekend it was streaming live.
Okay.
We got a weekend pass, so we watched it like five different times. And yeah, it's
interesting.
Highly recommend it.
Do you know like how it's trained?
Does it actually follow one single narrative, but randomly pulling in things that are related to, you know,
yes,
following that thread?
Yes and no. He had something like 200 hours of footage. that and this algorithm sort of scrapes the footage and puts, I don't know how he codes the footage to tell the story, but there's sort of a backbone narration about Eno and about his music and about his history, you know, going all the way back to the 60s and Roxy music and him as, you know, one of the most outstanding record producers. But just as a person, he's just so interesting. So that, you know, there's the story of his life and, you know, clips of him, you know, talking about his philosophy of life, and then all of these different pieces. Sometimes there's just a break where you see like all these like you know, a computer code flashing across the screen, and what it is the algorithm, you know, coming up with new new pieces to insert, and then there'll be maybe, you know, 5 minutes of just sort of experimental sound and picture. It's fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's different every time.
What this told me is that he's opening the door to a whole new concept of film. Mm. You know, the fact that a film can be something different every time it's screened. Mm. Nobody's ever done that before.
No. Not in that way. Right? No,
I can't think of anything.
Am I the only person in the world that thinks The Godfather was lame?
Yes.
Okay.
The last one was.
No, that was.
I tried to watch every time I try to watch it. I'm like, this is crap.
I don't know. The third one is like literally like, I don't know.
Why did
like,
you do that?
The third one is crap.
Why did you release
the
that?
The second one is good. The first one is amazing.
Okay.
From the point of view of, you know, filmmaking, you know, I never get tired of watching it because, you know, there's like so much there. There's, you know, the composition of the frame. There's the casting, the script, the lighting, the, you know.
I also couldn't stand Boogie Nights.
What?
I couldn't stand that movie.
That last part, this is why I'm a star.
Yeah, all of it's trash.
Or is that just ruined it?
I don't know, I am not a good cinema critic.
I hate everything.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
That's what I want to hear.
He just has wrong opinions, that's all.
Yeah, my opinions.
I just want to watch Matlock.
What was a good movie? All right, I want to know what was a good movie in Joe's book?
Yeah. What's your go-to of like,
what's your go-to?
Like, I'm going to watch it again.
True Romance.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Is that a real movie?
That's
Is that a real movie?
Starring Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette? Yes.
That's pretty good.
Oh, by the way, in that movie, spoiler alert, the lead character.
Why are you ruining the movie? I was going to go watch the movie.
It's like, what, 30 years old?
Because it's tied into the news. The spoiler alert is the lead character keeps having visions of Elvis, played by Val Kilmer.
Oh.
Mm. Okay.
And you never see his face. He just does the Elvis voice, and he's always like hanging out in the back. He's like, Clarence, you know, I've always loved you, man. I'm like, in the back. But you don't get to see him, but it's Kilmer. And that's sad because he died. And Real Genius is an awesome movie, and everybody should
watch it. Good one.
Yeah, Real Genius.
That's a good one. It might be triggering, though, watching all the nerds and doing ADHD autism things. That might trigger you. All the hyperactivity behavior, like,
And like the Laszlo guy that lives in the closet.
Yeah, there might be things where it's like,
Yeah, yeah. The kind of guy that everybody thinks Elon is, but he really isn't. That guy, yeah, yeah. Go watch Real Genius.
Good movie. That's a good one. Oh, yeah, one of my favorite lines from any movie was from that one, when the evil professor walks outside and he's yelling and doing it, and all the landscapers are staring at him, and he goes, "Hey, you're laborers. Go labor. That's what you get for not having an education."
Oh my gosh.
And in that instance, who of those two people, who do you think was happier?
Exactly. Yep. Well, right. Well. The guy who said that, you know, he got it at the end. He was the villain.
Just remember, folks, the ultimate revenge is we're all happier than Elon Musk, right? Like, we are. That dude will never be the person he wants to be.
One would hope.
He will never be the person his father wants him to be.
I don't know. Yeah. His father sounded like a worse person.
But he's also, I think, having more fun.
Yeah.
I think he's having more fun.
I watched him play Path of Exile. I don't
think I was just about to say.
No, he's not having more fun. I'm having more fun playing my video games. He's just there trying to show off and prove to his little fan base that he knows how to click buttons right. And he doesn't. He does not have his... He doesn't have his, like, his crystals in line right. He doesn't have them optimized. He doesn't already...
But he gets the good drugs.
Do I?
Oh. Wow. All right.
And you know why? There's limits to having ketamine in your system. It has therapeutic values. You know what? There are people with PTSD, and it's helping them, and it's good. And maybe Elon thinks that's what he's doing to himself, but it ain't. He's just rotting his little brain out, and he's taking us with him.
More is better. More is better. I thought that was the American theme.
Always.
Supersize it.
More is better.
Yeah. More. If a little bit's good, a lot has to be great.
I mean, even I think the stakeholders at Tesla and X, they're like, you want to roll it in, please? They're actually getting nervous. Yeah. They're like, your drug habits are not healthy for our, for... Yeah,
trying to run a company
and this is
here.
Coming from an advocate for drug use.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you need to relax.
Well, and I mean, call me old fashioned, but I remember drug tests before, having a major responsibility within government. Like, that was.
But he's not in government, he has no official capacity. The official capacity belongs to some woman on vacation. He's just a dude.
Wow.
What? He has no responsibility.
He's like a private contractor.
Strictly speaking, he has to stop working in May because he's just a private citizen being contracted by the government. He's nothing more than that.
But still, to be contracted, like the at least from when I was doing government work, you had to be drug tested.
Yeah, but the rules apply to him.
Right.
Correct.
No, you're right.
The people choosing him don't have to vet him. They're like, you could do whatever you want. Go for it, Elon. Thanks for all that money that bought me an election. Do whatever you want, buddy.
I forgot. I don't have election buying money.
See?
You're just a little old you.
Yeah. I'm just, Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's why he doesn't have to get drug tested. That's why he doesn't have to go through, like, the dude's a major security risk. We know that he has, like, vested interest in China. Steve Bannon is probably not wrong about him in that respect.
Or... he did violate his visa, and he's, like, partying with the dudes that are like, hey, you know what? You violated your visa just a little bit. Ow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're green.
Deport Elon. Deport Elon.
You said bad things in a student paper. Out.
Well, there was that interview with it was Elon and his brother. They were talking. They had some sort of interview, and I think Kimmel was like, oh, yeah, and when we were here illegally and we started our first business, Elon's face was
not that part.
Yeah, like pulling a Dr. Evil. Right.
We moved here illegally.
Rumeya Özturk. That's the woman that was kidnapped by ICE.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was crazy when you watched that.
People saying, why does the government so afraid of someone like that? That's because...
someone Turkish?
Words are scary.
I'm more...
a woman that can express her opinion to a university. That's what she got kidnapped for.
Ideas are scary.
Yeah, she wasn't exactly pro-Israel, so her and two other people wrote a letter to the university, and that's how she got found out, and that's why they decided to deport her. And people are saying, like, why would the government go after someone like that? She's not a threat. And my counter to that is, she is the threat. She is our weapon. She is the asset that us grunts on the ground have to protect. Mm-hmm. People like that can topple the government, and that's why they are afraid.
No, I just think more of it was a message, like, we'll come get you.
Exactly. Those people have to be... they want them in a state of panic and afraid to talk to each other, because when they combine their forces, that's when they are dangerous. Talk to each other. Take the risk. Head to WGXC.org. Click on the Thingularity button under the listening tab if you want to keep listening to me, because we're heading out of here in 30 seconds. Otherwise, everybody, yes, it is a sad dystopian future, but there is hope. There are people fighting back. There is a reason to keep getting up every day. Trust me. We're going to win. It's just going to take a bit. Anybody, last minute thoughts?
We'll have all the answers for you in the next episode.
100%. Tune in next.
Good job.
Next first Tuesday of every month. 7
Tuesday.
Thursday.